Grab your Bibles, would you? Take out your Bibles. Let's turn to the Word of God. What an exciting day. It's great to have you with us if you're a guest with us this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, there are plenty back on the back table. I know that someone would be very happy to provide one for you. And so simply let your need be known if you'd like to have a scripture. We'll also have them up on the overheads. But it's wonderful to have you guesting with us this morning and visiting with us. You're welcome here anytime and every time. It's great to see family and friends that we haven't seen for a while. So great to have you here. Well, this is a new day. Easter is a new day. Turn to each other and say, Easter is a new day. We've been to the upper room where Jesus celebrated his Passover meal with his disciples. We've had Judas leave to betray him. We've seen Jesus pray in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, as we know, was brutally tortured and beaten and indeed covered with blood, not just the typical trickle down the forehead that you may see in movies. He was made to carry his cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull where he was crucified. We know that Jesus came at a time where particularly crucifixion was the form of capital punishment, the worst form of capital punishment that man had ever inflicted on man, virtually. And it was only a short time in human history, and God saw to it that Jesus came during that time. Do we really understand the reality? I want to share a simple scripture with you, and Pat, if you'd come and put these on the overhead as well. I'm going to give this one to you out of several different translations just to appreciate the impact of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. I'll read it first from the New International Version. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, his form marred beyond human likeness. From the Message Version, he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured past recognition. Then when you turn to the New King James Version, it says, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. I'm going to use quite a number of scriptures this morning because we want the scripture to tell us the story, the true story of what this is all about. But unlike the movies, as I indicated a moment ago, Jesus was covered in blood. For you and for me, he shed that blood. How many are grateful for what we celebrate on Good Friday and the fact he went to the cross? Without question, we could not do that ourselves. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22, says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is, please say it with me, no forgiveness. Well, I didn't do anything too badly. Well, we're all sinners, the scripture says. In fact, Romans 3:23 is our next scripture. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is sin? Some of you may look at me and say, well, I wasn't a bank robber. But sin can be very simply missing the mark. In fact, that's the Greek definition of it. Harmatia. To shoot an arrow toward a bullseye and just off a little bit. Either not doing what he wants you to do or doing what he doesn't want you to do. It's the meaning of sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can look at your neighbor and say, you too. Romans 8, verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. They lay his body in a tomb of hewn stone, never before used, borrowed for this purpose. And 3 days go by. All the while, his blood shed, cleansing us from sin, shame, and condemnation. The perfect, precious blood of Jesus. Because unlike us, and we know we've sinned, most of us, Jesus didn't. But he did this for you and me. the final sacrifice for sin. Jesus' blood was righteous. Say with me, Jesus' blood was righteous. The lamb and the Passover sacrifice in the Old Testament was to be examined so it could be found pure and spotless. Jesus, indeed, as a New Testament fulfillment, was examined by Pilate. And what did Pilate say about him several times? I find no fault in him. The spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We weren't righteous. We couldn't die to take away our own sin. It wouldn't work. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, no taking away of sin. But ours isn't going to be able to accomplish it. Jesus was innocent, and His blood was shed, and it powerfully cleanses us from every sin, every fault. I want to take you to a story. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I know this is Easter. Why are we going to Genesis? Because there's a picture of what Jesus did for us out of a simple section of Scripture in the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis chapter 4. And I'm going to be referring to verses 5 through 10. The story starts in verse 3. Genesis chapter 4 verses 3 through 10. I'll read specifically starting from verse 5. But we read the sacrifice of two brothers. How many remember what they are? You see their names there. What were they? Cain and Abel. Now Cain was a worker in the fields. Abel was a shepherd. And they each bring a sacrifice to God. But whose sacrifice does God accept? Anybody remember? Abel's sacrifice. Let's pick it up with verse 5. But he, God, did not respect Cain and his offering. It doesn't mean that God didn't love him, but there was something missing from the offering that Cain brought. And Cain was what? Very angry. And his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. That's our portion to say, isn't it? Look at each other and say, you should rule over it. That's what we should do. Now Cain, verse 8, talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And we have this famous set of words. He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And God said to him, what have you done? Now particularly note the next phrase, would you please? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Each brought a sacrificial offering of thanks, but Abel also understood that his was an offering of atonement, a blood sacrifice. Something must die. Life is in the blood. And where there's sin, something must die. The wages of sin is death. He brought his firstborn of his flock, spotless, and that died. And God saw that sacrifice, and He said, it's good. And I accept it. Abel's was accepted. Cain's sacrifice wasn't. Cain was jealous, but instead of ruling over it, instead of saying, Lord, what are you trying to say to me here? What can I change? How can I do it better? What we see is his jealousy led to murder. Look at the phrase again. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now notice, the younger brother was a shepherd. His innocent blood was shed. And that blood cried out to God. I don't know if you remember, but in your history, in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, when someone was murdered in a city, and no one knew who was the murderer, so they couldn't render justice, the elders were to gather outside the city, they were to commit a sacrifice, shed the sacrifice's blood, and that would atone for the murder that had taken place. Blood was shed in order to atone. Innocent blood was shed. Here's Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, the final lamb, the perfect Lamb of God. the brother, if you will, of these Jewish leaders who, for envy's sake and jealousy's sake, just like Cain, delivered him up to die. And Jesus' blood cries out. Interesting. Jesus lays in a tomb. All the while, his blood cries out to God. One day, 2 days, 3 days in the tomb. And Satan thinks he has defeated the plan of God. He's destroyed this Lamb of God. But how many know God works in great ways? Jesus' blood cries out, instead of for vengeance, for forgiveness. Instead of forgiveness, he's the one who on the cross cried out, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And he died, and his body now lay in a tomb. His blood has been offered to God, and his blood cries out, forgive them, Father, I've taken the sin, I've been punished, I've taken it on me, forgive them. And if you've surrendered your life to the Lord, that sacrifice is his sacrifice for you. And if you haven't surrendered to the Lord, let this be the day you do so. Because the precious blood of Jesus cries out to the Father, forgive them. Forgive them. You're never going to perfect yourself. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
Anybody ever try? We try hard sometimes. But Jesus is the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. And he carries your sin away. And he takes it away, and the righteous blood of Jesus still speaks. So, his blood is righteous. How many of you know that he also had a fragrance? Jesus had a wonderful fragrance. Now, I could have you sniff each other, but that might not really be nice. I've got people sitting in the room right now going, please, Pastor Kev, be nice, we have guests here. Don't make us sniff each other. Okay, I won't. But his fragrance, the Bible speaks of a fragrance of incense that comes before the Lord. The prayers and the worship of his people is what the incense is in the New Testament. But there was a certain smell in the Old Testament that the priesthood was constantly to have burning before God in the tabernacle as well as in the temple. And it produced a fragrance God loved. Psalm 142 verse 1 says, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, the incense used in the Old Testament was specifically by command of God. There were certain fragrances and substances that were to come together. And you know how this fragrance was made, don't you? It had to be beaten and combined and mixed together and beaten again and then burned. Anybody ever feel that way? I've been beaten, mixed up, and burned. But it produced a fragrance before the Lord of something very special. No one else was to burn this substance. It was God's. There's a fragrance that comes from your life and mine before the Lord. How many know when you see somebody in love with Jesus, it shows up on their face, doesn't it? You see their countenance, there's a glow, and you feel like there's a fragrance too. They even smell better most times. But there's something you can discern about them. Something very special happened for Jesus just before his death, burial, and resurrection, if you recall. Something that gave him a very special fragrance. In Mark chapter 14, there was a woman who came, and in the book of John, she is identified as Mary. But she comes and she breaks, remember, an alabaster box. The Bible calls it costly spikenard and pours it out on Jesus' head. It was the cost of an entire year's wages. Now, in some cases, that might not seem like much, but in others, that's a lot. An entire year's wages with one breaking of the bottle, one pouring out of a heart, one pouring out of love and adoration. Judas got angry, remember? But Jesus rebukes him, and what does he say? What are his words? She's done this for my burial. Now, God himself gave Jesus a gift in this anointing by Mary. No matter what would come over these next hours, the fragrance of a loving worshiper was on Jesus, no matter what would come. It was the gift of letting Jesus know by God the Father through a worshiper that He was loved. How many of you think with everything Jesus went through over the next hours and days, He could use knowing He was loved? Amen. Jesus was made like we are, yet without sin. But He had the same kind of emotions. And in the face of a horrific rejection and trial and beating and a horrific time, God saw to it that a special worshiper came and with her tears literally poured her love out on Him. And it left a fragrance on Jesus. In a garden praying, He was sweating as it was, great drops of blood. There was a fragrance that came from Jesus. They beat Him. But how many of you understand, I'll bet there'd never been anybody else they'd beaten who had that kind of fragrance. Don't you think it probably made them wonder? What is that smell? They tortured Him, but a fragrance of love kept coming, And they'd never smelled that before. They crucified Him, but His hair and His beard still held a fragrance of love. We have a trial and Peter's betrayal, and the guards are stationed at the tomb, and all the while, Jesus' blood cries out, and a fragrance of love from God keeps coming. One day, 2 days, 3 days, and God says, it's enough. No more. It's finished. Let's go to Mark chapter 16 and read the scriptures. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, beginning in verse 1 of Mark chapter 16, Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, which we don't seem to be able to manufacture here just now in Port Ludlow, but that's all right. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door and the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting at his right side, or sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But He said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. Say it with me. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid Him? But go. And I love this in Mark. Go. Tell His disciples, now say the next two words with me, please, and Peter. Now you remember Mark was pretty much Peter's disciple. And Peter had opportunity to particularly tell Mark, this disciple here, I betrayed Him. But there was something special on that day that happened, Mark. Jesus received me again. How many thank God that Jesus receives you? Go tell my disciples and Peter. Mark, I want you to make sure you put that in there. He receives me too. That He's going before you into Galilee. There you'll see Him as He said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb. They trembled and were amazed and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let's carry on. Verse 9. Now, when He rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with Him, and they mourned, or as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that He was alive and had been seen by her, say the phrase with me, please, they did not believe. Despondent, heartbroken, dejected. Have you ever received good news that you couldn't hardly believe it after sorrow? And after that, He appeared, as we go on in verse 12, in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest. But, say it with me, please, they did not believe them either. Well, this can either be an oh no or a thank God they're just like us kind of an experience when you read the scriptures here. Later, He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and He rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart. because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He'd risen. What He declared to them was true. In 3 days, I'll be raised up again. They were terrified. They gathered together and they were mourning. Hopes were dashed and we really thought He was the one. But oh, in a heartbeat, how they changed. One of the finest proofs of the resurrection is the fact you take these dejected disciples whose hopes were dashed and cast away, and in a moment of seeing Jesus, their lives were radically transformed, and they filled the earth with His teaching and with His preaching, and they obeyed Him because the good news is that Jesus is alive. Turn to each other and say, Jesus is alive. Now the blood cried out and forgave them. Now they've got forgiveness. Now the fragrance of Jesus is theirs. And He really is the Messiah. He is what we hoped He would be. There's no other religion. No other religion who has had its leader be brutally tortured, died, buried, and raised again from the dead. None on the face of the earth. What a powerful proof. The change that takes place. His presence, His fragrance. And the rest of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, And He said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And the final word is amen, amen, which means so be it. Amen. Easter 2009, you guys. A brand new day. It's a new day. One more thought. At the crucifixion, we know that an earthquake took place, the Scripture says. We know that the veil that was separating the people from entering the most holy place was hanging there, and it was torn in two. How many remember from which direction? From the top to the bottom. God destroyed anything that would separate us from Him. Our sins separate us, but who took them? Jesus did. Forgiveness, mercy, all available, and that veil was rent in two. Just an aside, many commentators agree that that veil was 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, a handbreadth in thickness, which means 3 inches or more thick. And according to early Jewish historians, they wrote that the veil in front of the Holy of Holies was so thick that it took 300 priests to move or manipulate it. This thing was so heavy. It was literally, humanly impossible to tear. Now, at His resurrection, He says, have at it. Relationship with God, you are welcome. You are forgiven. You are delivered. You are Mine, He says, when you surrender to Him. The rumble of the ages continues to roll, and it's still rolling today. Hope, forgiveness, deliverance, peace, relationship with the Father, the love of God to you, and His mercy. Let it be a brand new day for you. Let today be a brand new day for you. I know we try to put on our Easter best and we go eat our Easter best and we celebrate with friends and family. But let today first and foremost be a celebration in the fact that Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen indeed. A new day. Hope to the hopeless. Help to the helpless. Forgiveness and mercy and deliverance and salvation. And if you don't know this Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I urge you today, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. He did this for you. And the Scripture tells us in John 3, verses 16 and 17, we can say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Anybody grateful here this morning?
Yes.
It's a new day. Do you see Him? Do you love Him? He loves you. Let's stand. Father, we thank You that this is a glorious day to celebrate. We thank You that You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Majesty on High, the One we love and we adore. We thank You, Lord, that we loved You because You first loved us. It's a new day. A day to celebrate Your presence. And we are so grateful for You, Lord. You're the one who gives us reason to live and go forward from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you back to celebrate with us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We're grateful that you're here with us. We're going to take a time now to fellowship. There's cake in the back. Two very special cakes. In fact, one says, He is risen. And what do you think the other might say? He is risen indeed. One's chocolate. That's an anointed cake, you understand. Chocolate. And the other one is vanilla, is it?
No, carrot cake.
Oh, the other one is carrot cake. He is risen indeed as carrot cake. Well, enjoy your wonderful day. Enjoy friends and family, and God bless you. If you need to pray together, come on up afterwards, and we'll be happy to pray with you. God bless you. Have a fantastic Easter. Thanks for coming.